Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. I was gearing up for this show and getting ready. Exciting time of the year. We're 3 weeks into the NRL season and, you know, we're seeing some teams really struggle for form and under a lot of pressure, and some teams really hitting their straps early in the season, including the North Queensland Cowboys, who are 3-0 to start their 2024 campaign. But in preparing for this show, the rugby league world has been thrown into chaos in the last 24 to 48 hours. Now, yesterday it started with the news that Nathan Cleary, the inspirational captain there at the Panthers and grand final hero, he's going to be out for the next month with a hamstring tear. It was quickly followed up with the Parramatta Eels announcing that Mitchell Moses, who starred in their big win over Manly on Sunday afternoon, he'll be out between 2 to 3 months with a fractured foot. Now, since then, we just keep getting news of injuries, and there's a lot of players that have either been ruled out this weekend and some that are still in doubt and could still miss this weekend's games. If I don't include Cleary and Moses, the list is still extensive. I mean, from the Broncos, Payne Huss and Reece Walsh both out for extended periods of time. We'll talk about Reece Walsh's injury shortly. They're also joined by Brandon Pecora with a ankle sprain. We'll keep him out for about a month. The Knights have Greg Marzu out with a fracture of some sort. Lindsay Collins out for the Roosters with a hamstring tear. Same as Billy Smith, he's got an ankle sprain. The Sharks thrown into disarray in that loss against the Tigers on Saturday night. Scott Sorensen, Toby Rudolph, and Dale Finucane will be missing time for them. Sorry, Scott Sorensen's for Penrith. Dale Finucane, Royce Hunt, and Toby Rudolph will be missing time for Cronulla. Tua Pickie's out for the Warriors for concussion. The Cowboys have got some dramas of their own. Cotter, Labert, and Chester all in doubt for this week. Sian and Smith also gone for the Roosters. Bryce Cartwright's another casualty for Parramatta. And both Cam Murray and Jack Wyden in doubt for the Rabbitohs. So there's a lot of injury drama. And that's also compounded by the Gold Coast Titans, who are, you know, really struggling to start the season. Their inspirational forward and captain and team leader, Big Tino, he's been ruled out for the rest of the year with an ACL. So, wow, what a chaotic start to the week in the rugby league landscape. I think this could potentially really even up the competition over the next few weeks. And, you know, we could see some upsets on the card. It's an opportunity for some younger players to get some experience in first grade. And, you know, it's still a really exciting time, even as a South Sydney fan like I am, to see what the next month of football is going to bring as we get deeper into the 2024 season. But anyway, guys, welcome back to Steve's NRL Footy Tips for Round 4. I'm your host, Stephen Westway. After that intro, I want to wish everybody a happy Easter this weekend. And if for some reason you want to avoid your family, or you don't like your family, you don't like spending time with your family, well, get to a room with a TV, because there's plenty of rugby league action to keep you entertained this weekend, or throughout the long weekend, including the Monday game between Parramatta and the West Tigers at 4 p.m. So, It's a great time of the year to be a footy fan, and it's, you know, it's great to be back and be able to record this podcast each and every week. And my footy tips are very inconsistent. I got 8 out of 8 in round 2, I think 5 out of 8 in round 1, and only 4 last week. The teams are still, you know, getting settled, I guess, in terms of pecking order. Some teams really struggling that to lift, like South Sydney and the Gold Coast Titans. The Roosters, Manly, Parramatta really hitting their straps at the moment with other sides, so it's an open competition. I mean, Penrith, they're still the benchmark, there's no doubt about it, but there's teams, when I look at this competition right now, that I think there's teams that can cause some headaches if they were to come up against them in the finals, just based on the start of this year and the free-flowing and enterprising football some of these teams are playing. So it's going to be a big weekend, no doubt about it. Some massive games again. But let's go back now, let's recap round 3 quickly. The action started with a huge grand final rematch on last Thursday night, and it was the Penrith Panthers' comprehensive winners over the Brisbane Broncos, 34-12. Now, this is the biggest grand final rematch victory since 2006. So, in all the grand final replays, Penrith have, you know, really made a statement here with the biggest win in quite some time. They were just clinical. I mean, you know, their forwards, I think, really got a role on early and laid the platform, but Nathan Cleary was efficient as always, and the variety that he showed an attack to really just keep the Broncos' defense guessing. It was outstanding, and it was just a clinic by Nathan Cleary, who had a star-making performance. But as we just mentioned, he's out for a month for Penrith. So whether that brings him back to the field a little bit is remains to be seen. But I think at the moment, why Penrith look outstanding over the last two weekends of football, because of the change in their personnel that they've had over the last couple of years, I think that they really have looked Cleary more than ever to start this season. So it's a huge loss, there's no doubt about it. Their opponents, Brisbane, you know, well, they could barely crack Penrith's line. I mean, Penrith's defence was so consistent and just hard to breach. And, you know, Brisbane didn't really fire a shot until the game was well and truly in the hand with Penrith, where they scored two late tries. But they were thrown into disarray earlier last week with Payne Huss getting ruled out for a couple months, and Adam Reynolds was out. He's back on deck this week. Obviously, their game wasn't helped in the opening minutes when Reece Walsh had that fracture of his cheekbone due to a collision with Taylor May. Now, I've heard reports that you know, a lot of people are upset that Taylor Mayne wasn't charged. I don't think someone, you know, would lead with their head intentionally and potentially risk a concussion themselves. But there is a duty of care, so I can see both ways. Taylor May probably lucky to be on the field this week, considering the long-term injury to Reece Walsh. But hey, that's football. Sometimes things are going to go wrong, and you know, I'm sure Reece Walsh doesn't hold anything personally against Taylor May, but at the end of the day, Brisbane struggling. They now face the prospect of potentially being one win from the first five rounds. Two big games against the Cowboys and Storm. Really tough ones coming up. Obviously, the Cowboys are their arch rival, the local derby, that they always have some spirited affairs and some classic encounters in the past. And Melbourne have had Brisbane's number for years. So the pressure's really on Kevin Walters to get the Broncos up for this weekend's game, considering they're missing some key personnel, but they do get Adam Reynolds back on board, so we'll see how that goes in a moment when we preview that game. Now, I did tip Penrith in that game, got that one right. The Friday night didn't go really the way I planned. Now, the Warriors did defeat the Raiders 18-10, and I tipped the Warriors in that game, but they were really struggling with any sort of cohesion in attack early on, and, you know, Fanua Blake scored a great opening try, but then it was two quick tries by the Raiders to take the 10-6 lead, and it wasn't until the last 20 minutes that the Warriors came storming home. I think that the composure by the key man in the Warriors' side that they just stuck to it and eventually got over the line was outstanding. But I think the Raiders have really improved this year, and they've proven they're not going to be an easy beat. They're going to be really physical early. Their forwards are going to lay a platform, and they're going to be hard to beat. The defense from Canberra, I think, has improved tenfold. So, you know, they're 2 from 3. They're probably a little bit unlucky not to be 3 from 3, to be honest. But, yeah, I think, you know, going over New Zealand, it's never easy. I think Canberra, the fact that they were up, they were rue their missed opportunities late in that game, but I think they can take a lot of confidence in the performance and the effort they dished up over there in New Zealand. The second Friday night game, well, here we are, aren't we? It was the Roosters 48-6 over the South Sydney Rabbitohs. And, you know, before you at me, before you DM me, sometimes, as a rugby league fan, you support your team to a fault, and sometimes you're delusional. And look, I make no apologies for that, but I can admit when I was wrong, and I thought South would really lift and be in the contest, but it was one-way traffic. The Roosters were outstanding. Sam Walker and Sienna Smith really laid a platform, and early Tedesco back to his damaging best in so far in 2024. He's looking outstanding, and suddenly all that talk about him getting dropped from New South Wales has vanished into thin air. They're playing a really good brand of football, the Roosters, and a big improvement from that game 2 weekends ago against Manly, where they seemed a little bit flat. They lifted against their arch rivals, and they lifted for Hargreaves 300. We'll see how they back up against the Premiers this weekend. But for South Sydney, what a disaster of a start of a season. Now, we'll talk about them a little bit more when I preview the Good Friday game against the Bulldogs. But look, to say I'm not happy is an understatement. I think that more change was probably needed in the side, and some of their veterans at South Sydney need to be held accountable. Poor Cam Murray, the bloke 130-odd metres last weekend, 55 tackles with no misses. He was giving his heart and soul for this club. Cook, when he came off the bench, despite the fact that, yeah, his form's been criticised, 44 tackles off the bench. These guys always give their all for South Sydney. It's disappointing to see other players just not delivering at the moment, and leaders that you expect to stand up. And you know who I'm referring to. I'm referring to Cody Walker and Latrell Mitchell. Now, Cody Walker, I think, has been in absolute awful form. Him and Dean Hawkins had no cohesion. So they're definitely at a fault. But in saying that, it's hard to get on top of a game and really get into a game as a playmaker if you're forward pack lacks any sort of punch, and the Rabbitohs just failed to lay any sort of platform early on the contest. The Roosters got a penalty in the first set, and they never looked back. And South Sydney, I mean, some of their forward pack really need a wake-up call. I mean, you've got guys that you know, representative players and players to that caliber, and Keon Kalamatangi and Tevita Totola and, you know, Sean Kepi had come over to Manly looking for an opportunity, and they'd basically just been turnstools. They haven't been able to make any inroads in the middle of the field, and defensively, just teams are just dominating South Sydney up the middle. It's extremely worrying as a South Sydney fan, and despite what happens this weekend, I don't think the Rabbitohs should be taken off any pressure at all. In fact, I think that even if they, you know, come up with a big scoreline against the Bulldogs, which is no guarantee considering the Bulldogs come off a win, there's got to be some massive culture change at the club there at the moment, because whatever's happening, whatever is going on through the week, whether there's egos at stake or not, whether Sam Burgess is right about players getting preferential treatment over others or not, the fact is that there's something seriously wrong, and the on-field performance, which is what matters at the end of the day, it's just not there for South Sydney at the moment. So, Super Saturday, obviously I entered that 2 out of 3, and I still thought I was in for a cool weekend in terms of tipping, but the Bulldogs 32-0 over the Titans in the opening game of Super Saturday, and the Bulldogs much improved after two very disappointing weeks. They found a way to score points, and you know, that was through the likes of Kikau just dominating, Reid Marnie scheming from dummy half. I thought it was a much improved performance. I think they've still got a long way to be competitive in this competition, and you know, but in front of the Belmore crowd, they really stood up. So credit to the Bulldogs. The Titans are in all sorts. They are, in my opinion, despite the fact that I just you know, had several shots at CS, and rightfully so, I mean, the Titans have definitely been the most poor team to start the 2024 season in their two games. The Bulldogs, Dragons, and a bye to start your season is exactly what I'd call, you know, a rough start to your season. If you plan a one out before a ball gets kicked, you're like, that's a good start. We should be able to get, you know, at least 4 if not 6 points from those first 3 weeks. But yeah, how disappointing was it if you're a Titans fan? I mean, the fact that Tino's down with an ACL is not good, but Tanner Boyd and Foran had no cohesion. Just like South Sydney, their forward pack got dominated through the middle, and they just looked low on energy, low on enthusiasm, and people got to be held accountable. Des Hasler's start to his tenure as the Gold Coast Titans coach has been a disaster, to say the least, and Brimson's not getting enough football to get involved. I thought Keeney struggled last week. They do get back Campbell and potentially Fifita back this week, so that'll help, but the effort areas have been disastrous and awful. If you're a Gold Coast Titans supporter, it is just not good enough. It's not first grade standard at the moment from the Titans, and you know, it's really indicative of the history that they've had in the NRL, where there's been so many seasons where the Titans have started poor, been well and truly out of finals contention by the middle of the season, and for their fans, it's just not good enough. So yeah, I got that one right. I tipped the Titans, and they obviously did not deliver. I did tip the Cowboys in the second game. They beat the Dragons 46-24. Now, the Dragons started off hot. They scored a lot of early points and had their fair share of early possession. But, you know, the Cowboys just got over the top of them because their goal line defense was atrocious. Not first grade standard at all for the Dragons. And, you know, the fact that they can score points has got to be encouraging for Shane Flanagan. But those effort areas, those 1% areas, just show you how far of a way to go that the Dragons have. I mean, at one point it was 18-4, and they blew it, you know, within the space of 10 minutes. Extremely disappointing if you're a Dragons fan, but, you know, I think they're still, despite that scoreline, starting to have a couple positive steps in the right direction in terms of, you know, at least they can throw the football around and ask question marks of the defensive structures that teams have against them. But, yeah, if you defend them like that, you're not going to win many footy games, and it just shows you how long of a way that the Dragons have left to go to be competitive in this competition. The final game of Super Saturday, the Tigers 32 over the Cronulla Sharks 6. I tipped the Sharks in that game. What an upset it was by the West Tigers in front of their Leichhardt Oval faithful. Now, I know there's been a lot of talk about Leichhardt this week, but there's no doubt that the atmosphere was incredible if you're a Tigers supporter, that the local fans got out there, showed their support, and I think that it really boosted the Tigers in this game. Abby Corusella was sick all week. He basically said it, and he came up with a man of match performance, and he said that every time he looked into the crowd or heard the crowd, inspired him to keep going. And you know, I think the addition of Caesar in the halfback position has been a godsend for the Titans. They have a lot more structure than they have had in recent years in the early games. And you know, Lachlan Gowan has been great as an 18-year-old. Obviously, each week's going to be a new test for the Titans, for the Tigers, but they've got a good forward pack. Their spine's looking well improved. Week in, week out proposition, they've had one great week and one very disappointing week. And for Cronulla, it was you know, just a night to forget. They had plenty of injuries and plenty of reason to go in their shell. But I think that Nico Hines in particular is really disappointing, despite the fact that I captained him in Supercoach, and it's been a disastrous week for all Supercoaches out there. Terrible. You know, two early kicks out in the full. Definitely didn't do his confidence any favours, and he really went back in his shell since after that point. So, you know, I think Kennedy was definitely the most dangerous there at the Sharks, but the fact that they were down to one man on the bench for the majority of the week, for the majority of the game, was not doing them any favours, and they eventually just got worn out through the middle. The Tigers made way too many inroads in there and, you know, made the Sharkies fans suffer. It was a long night for Cronulla fans, no doubt about it. Sunday afternoon, in my opinion, the game of the year so far, Parramatta 28 over Manly 24. Manly got to an early 14-0 lead, and we said, oh, here we go. But Parramatta, with their unique style of offense, where just so much second-phase football and trying things out, they got back in the game. It was a really close counter at the end. There was obviously a controversial no-try that that Manly got against them that definitely favoured in the result. But I look at this game and I look at these two teams and I see teams that, you know, unpredictable with the football, not afraid to play enterprising football in the early tackles, and especially for Manly, to spread the ball and to go wide early on, and the free-flowing attack of Parramatta. I see two teams that on their day, if they can fix their defence up a little, can really cause Penrith some headaches. And, you know, it's exciting times if you're a fan of both of those clubs. Now, Parramatta obviously got to overcome that Mitchell Moses odd, and it was an incredible win. I think that he really propelled them to that victory. It was a man-of-the-match performance, and I actually thought, you know, he did his origin chances no danger. I thought that he could have been a lock for Origin, to be honest, going into the game one, but who knows how this injury will set him back and when he'll be back on the field. But yeah, I feel the forward pack for Parramatta is really good, really took it to Manly. Manly, as I said, they were outstanding as well. I was really entertained by this game, and I'm really excited to see how those two teams respond again this week. You could make an argument Manly could be free from free and should be free from free right now. So massive opening few weeks for both those sides. The final game of the week was a little bit of a more of a dour affair. It was Newcastle 14 over the Storm 12. Defence was heavy in this game for the Storm. They were obviously missing both their halves in Hughes and Munster. So Pezzett and Wishart were in the side. I think Wishart really stood up, especially when the game you know, was getting closer to a close. And he showed his potential that he has in first grade to be a superstar. He's only still very young, so it was great to see his hard work rewarded with a try late. But I mean, the Knights are much improved, especially defensively, in front of their home crowd. I think they're still not exactly flowing in attack, but Colger straightened it up, no doubt about it. And I think that all the pieces just got to find a way to connect a little bit better. Ponga, Gamble, or Hastings, when he comes back in, which I'm sure he'll find a way back into in the side, especially after apparently he dominated in reserve grade. Colger, obviously still finding his feet at halfback, so they've got a long way to go. Brayley came back for him as well last week, and their forward pack was good again. The Storm, I thought, were pretty solid considering they were missing two of their big leaders, and Pat Houston was outstanding again. So they've got the bye this week, Melbourne. They usually start off, you know, hot, so a big win for Newcastle to kickstart their season. I don't think it does any damage to Melbourne, and maybe they'll be able to get both their halves back on deck after the bye. We'll see how that injury goes with Cameron Munster's groin, and, you know, I'm sure they'll be pushing it as much as they can to get him right, especially in the important games this season. So overall, you know, it's been a long recap, but a lot to talk about this week in the NRL, and we're going to preview round four now. We'll see how some of these teams can respond. Before I do that, please remember to like Steve's NRL Footy Tips on Facebook to stay notified of all the latest updates for the show, and you can see the episodes as they drop and listen to them. Subscribe, you'll get those notifications when the podcast drop as well, whether it be Apple Podcasts or Spotify, any other podcast platform on there too. So big edition of the show coming up. We're going to preview round four now. Some teams under pressure, some teams with some injury dramas, and some teams looking to continue their outstanding form to start 2024. So we've got potentially the game of the round to start round four. It starts at 8 p.m. from Allianz Stadium when the Sydney Roosters, who are now favourites heading into this contest, versus the defending premiers, the Penrith Panthers. And obviously, the odds of this game have shifted dramatically with the news that Nathan Cleary, as we mentioned to start the show, will be out for at least 4 to 5 weeks with a hamstring issue. So, you know, the Roosters coming off, you know, a huge win over South Sydney in round 3, 48-6, their arch rivals. They are going to enter this game full of confidence back at home. the Roosters faithful really actually got out and supported the Roosters for once last week with a massive crowd for Hargraves 300th. And, you know, I'm sure the Roosters will be looking to build off that confidence this week. They looked really good through the middle of the field, but their halves really stood up. I thought that in the absence of Luke Keary, Sandon Smith did a really outstanding job. And Sam Walker, before exiting the field with a HIA, I thought he was outstanding for the tricolours. Tedesco playing a really good brand of football. They've got Strike all over the park. Dominic Young, 3 tries. Manu looked as good as ever. And some of these young forwards for him, Tupanua and Terrell May, really doing some hard work. And even Nathaniel White playing a nice, enterprising brand of football. So, you know, I think that the Roosters, despite the fact that they're usually traditionally slow starters and like to build into their season, they've started 2024 on fire. And, you know, they were a little bit lacking energy, and the Brookvale factor got against them in round two, where Manly won 21-14. But I think you'd be hard-pressed to see a team that's, you know, started the season better than the Roosters. They are, you know, singing at the moment, and we'll see how they can back it up against the benchmark of this competition, the Penrith Panthers, because there's no doubt that while Nathan Cleary, a massive loss, and as I said when I was recapping around three, I think Penrith really are relying on him more than ever at the moment, with, you know, some younger players getting some time in first grade, guys like Lindsay Smith and Liam Henry, Taylor May, Taruva. They've got a really talented side, but they often look to a leader, and you've usually got Cleary and Yeo both there. You take Cleary out, you take out the organiser, and, you know, we'll see if Penrith are tested. But overall, I mean, defensively, their structures, their setup, the way that the club just keeps producing these young players that step up and do a job, it's amazing. And for the Roosters to beat them this week, they're going to have to be at their absolute best, because despite the fact that there's no Cleary and the fact that they're heading to this game as the outsiders, you can never write off Penrith side. I thought that Brad Snyder, who's slotting in as number 7, probably for the next month while Cleary's out, I thought he did a really good job a year ago at Canberra to start the season for them with his limited opportunities. I thought he was, you know, a good development player, and he still had a ways to go, especially defensively. But I think that, you know, under this system at Penrith, it's the perfect time for young players to come through. So he makes his Penrith debut this week, as does Maverick Guire, who's making his NRL debut in general. Mark Guire's son, a lot of raps on him over the last few years. Great to see him finally get a taste of first grade. Lindsay Smith starts, I think, maybe for the first time in his career. In a prop, he usually comes from the bench. So, you know, with players out like Sorensen and Cleary, who, you know, Sorensen's a pretty big loss as well for them, it's given some of these young guys opportunities and a taste of first grade, which I think will do nothing but help Penrith later in the year. So they're a massive chance to go 4 premierships in a row. And, you know, despite the fact that Storm beat them in round one, they've just been so clinical the last 2 weeks to win their football games. But a lot of that has been on Nathan Cleary. So we'll see how Edwards, Luai and Yeo, the experienced members of the spine, step up and see if they can lead the Panthers to a win this week. And I think a lot of it's going to be on Luai. He's going to have that opportunity to be the playmaker that, you know, will lead the Tigers next year. And, you know, really lead his own squad and his own team. But he gets an opportunity here again with Cleary going to show that he's got those chops. And, you know, as I said, for the Panthers, I don't think much of their lead-up will change and a lot of their structural plays. And Snyder will just try to, you know, you can't be Nathan Cleary. You can't emulate Nathan Cleary. You have to just do your best in the position. But, you know, a lot of the foundation and, you know, the structures are already in place there for Penrith. So I think Snyder's just going to go in, do his simple job, and, you know, make no doubt about it. This game between the Roosters and Penrith is going to be decided in the middle. It's going to be decided who gets that early momentum. And as I said, Penrith, a little bit more of a less experienced forward pack than usual. So they're going to be looking to the likes of Martin and Leota and Isaac Yoda to lay that platform, because the Roosters will be coming at them. If there's one thing they've been really good at this year, Roosters, it's gaining the early momentum in contest. And, you know, they've got Hargraves this week there without Collins themselves, Lindsay Collins to a hamstring strain. That's a massive blow for them. But Terrell May's been good coming in. I think that Radley's been probably back to his best football this year. And you know how much strike they've got outright the Roosters. So I'm really looking forward to Thursday night. I think it's going to be a great start to round four. But the momentum that the Roosters have after that big win over CF Sydney in front of a home crowd, I find it hard-pressed to bet against them, considering, you know, Tedesco's playing football that we haven't seen him play in several years. And they just seem like a happy group at the moment. They seem like, you know, that they're all guns blazing now. Can they maintain that all year? Remains to be seen, considering they're usually slow starters. But I think it's been a massive off-season for Robinson. I think like these players in the Roosters squad have put in a lot of hard work, and I feel like they're getting the dividends of it right now. So I've got them defeating the Premiers this week. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair. Both teams have really good defence. And, you know, Penrith will be looking to win on the back of that with their leader in Cleary out. But I think I think the Roosters have a little bit too much strike that they could be able to sneak a few tries in on this Penrith, their best defence. And I think the Roosters find a way, but the Roosters by 6 points on Thursday night against Penrith Panthers. So usually I come into these podcasts full of energy. The last couple of weeks has been a little bit tougher. You know, it's hard to be up every round of the year just like the players, even when you're recording, since you work full-time, and sometimes you just want to come home and chill out, but you've got rugby league to talk about. I know it's a hard job, but someone's going to do it. But today I'm full of energy. Maybe it's been the free coffees I've drunk, and maybe it's the fact that my Supercoach team's in disarray at the moment, and, you know, I'm just on that high to try to get a team back to what it can be, you know, really, really amped up and pumped up. But I've got energy today, and I'm going to need it for this next game. Good Friday, the traditional affair. The Rabbitohs are at home for the first time this year at a Core Stadium at 4 p.m. versus the Canterbury Bulldogs. And the Rabbitohs. They are, without a doubt, the biggest disappointment so far of 2024. It was an absolutely garbage performance last Friday night against the Sydney Roosters to the point where I had to stop watching. It was just terrible, terrible football and terrible effort plays. The one percenters weren't there. I'd rather watch the 2002 Rabbitohs side than the 2024 Rabbitohs side. I mean, at least in 2002 when CS got back in the comp and, you know, I was only a young fella, you know, and I didn't know the intricacies of rugby league, the Rabbitohs were often outclassed. And if you go back to round one, 2002, they lost by 40 points to the Sydney Roosters. But you know the difference between that 2002 squad and the side we're seeing taking the field this year? The effort. They may have been outclassed, that Rabbitohs side, but they always tried hard. They always put in the effort. You had guys like Andrew Hart and Luke Stewart ripping into the defence and trying to make a difference. Now, I look at South Sydney and I see that effort in some players, like Cam Murray and Damien Cook, but I don't see it in enough of their leaders. Guys like Latrell Mitchell, Cody Walker in particular, you know, they're not doing enough. Walker's supposed to be the leader as the playmaker, and Latrell Mitchell's the highest paid player at the club. They have to lift up, and they have to lift the rest of the side up with them. Now, in their defence, it can be hard to do when your forward pack does not have any sort of punch in them at all. And that's what the Rabbitohs had to start the year. They've been awful in attack, and I mentioned a little bit earlier, but man, they have been so weak up the middle. Totola, Hion Kalamatangi, hosts Mowali, they have not been good enough to start games, and they've just been completely getting on the back foot, and oppositions are taking advantage. South's defence is weak-minded. They can't defend their own line, and we're just seeing defensive units like the Broncos, like the Roosters last week in particular, just getting on a roll, scoring 3-4 consecutive tries, and South Sydney out of the game early on. And, you know, as a Rabbitohs fan, knowing the potential that this club has in them, it's insanely disappointing that their line speed's slow, the effort areas aren't there, the 1% areas aren't there for a lot of the players. It has been a basket case to start the season. Demetrio should be under pressure. And, you know, I think he should have made more changes this week. Somehow Walker's still the 6. Widen in his debut last week, he just had to come over and covered, you know, Walker's missed tackles all game. Non-effective use of Jack Widen in his club debut. Latrell Mitchell, there's footage there of him just walking in the back play, not being physically there in the game. You've got to be there. You've got to stand up as leaders in big games, and these two aren't doing it, and a lot of the team isn't. I mean, it's very disappointing. The outside edges defence, still very weak. Dean Hawkins, he didn't get much support from his forwards or his half partnership, but he failed to, you know, make an impact in the game, and Ilias did dominate. So I think that some of these players have to be held accountable. Walker, I don't think, should be in first grade this week. And, you know, I think that Latrell Mitchell either has to move to the centres or he has to show that he belongs at fullback. If there's one addition that I like this week that Demetrius made, it is the addition of Tom Burgess starting the game. I think that the Rabbitohs have missed a big forward to start the game, to get him on the right foot, and Tom Burgess does that. He's got the experience and the leadership that he can lift the rest of his forward packs on, and usually when he's been getting into the games like last week, the game's already over by the time he gets on, and the Rabbitohs are on the back foot at that point. So start Burgess, start Cook, get the Rabbitohs rearing at the start of the game. Don't wait till 25 minutes into the contest to do it. We'll see how it goes. I mean, Russell Crowe sent the text out that, you know, things can change really quickly in rugby league, and Demetrio's got the support of the board, but there's rumblings about Wayne Bennett. There's rumbling about Sam Burgess. Demetrio knows his job's in the line, and there's one thing that I hope don't come out of this weekend, and that's, you know, the Rabbitohs beating a disappointing Bulldog side, putting on a bit of a scoreline against them, which is possible. It's also possible the Rabbitohs get, you know, trounced this week again. But if the Rabbitohs do win against the Bulldogs and win pretty easily at the end, I think it's just going to disguise many of the problems at this club. A big win over the Bulldogs shouldn't mean your season's back on track, because, you know, while the Bulldogs were better last week, I think they're still a long way away from competing with the good teams in this competition. It just shows you how bad the Titans were last week. So, you know, there's big problems at Redfern. Souths need to fix them. They can only get there by hard work. Demetrio said that right, at least in his press conference. But it has to be a complete 180 from what we've seen from this year. And, you know, I know that you got to build into a season sometimes, and it's hard to be up for, you know, the whole season. And, you know, last year, Souths were greatest first 3 months of the season, then completely collapsed in the back half. You'd prefer, you know, them to be ready to go to come finals, but they've got to show something this week. There's got to be a response. Or if they, let's put it this way, if Souths don't win this weekend, I think then their season's over. I don't think they can make the top eight. I don't think they could recover from a loss to the Bulldogs on Good Friday. They've won their last five against the Bulldogs on Good Friday, so they've got a good record. They absolutely need to win this week, and they need to get the faith of a lot of their fans back, because it's extremely disappointing to watch at the moment. For the Bulldogs, I mean, it's all been Rabbitohs heavy so far, but the Bulldogs, I think, you know, as I said, they were better last week. Kick out, got some space to move, and he showed just how valuable he can be. And he really lifted, I think, Reid Marnie's game as well. And even Matt Burden got in on the action. So, you know, positive signs. I think Taff was improved as well. Defensively, they didn't leak a point, which is great to see, despite the fact that the Titans didn't leak, didn't throw much at them. But I think it truly is, you know, each week's going to be a different tale for the Bulldogs, and they've got a long way to go to be competitive. So I don't think the halves are still the answer. Drew Hutchins, I don't think, is a halfback. I don't think Matt Burden's a 5'8". So, and they're weak up the middle, just like the Rabbitohs are. So it'll be interesting to see if you can get that early momentum and take advantage this week. But, you know, I think the Bulldogs will be up for it, because I think it's a game that they think they can win. But surely there's some sort of response from Souths. This isn't me just being a delusional fan. I honestly think that if Souths lose this game, they can't make finals. And I think that they know it's do or die. And if Souths do lose this game, I think Demetrio should honestly resign, because I can't see him staying as the Rabbitohs coach for much longer. So I'm going to go to the Rabbitohs by 16. I think they do respond this week, finally. I could be wrong, like I was last week. But it's got to come at some point. And, you know, I just don't think the Dogs are in a position to be a good football team in the NRL yet. Simple as that. So I've got the Rabbitohs on Good Friday. I've been on the air for a while now during this podcast this week, and we've only covered two games, so going to pick up the pace a little bit, but obviously there's been a lot of talk about so far this weekend. This is going to be a massive game at Suncorp Stadium, 8 p.m. on Friday night. It's the Brisbane Broncos versus the North Queensland Cowboys. As I mentioned before, the Broncos face the potential possibility of one win and four losses to start their season, which, coming off the grand final, would be a disastrous start. They've obviously had a lot of excuses with injuries, and the fact that I think they just got a grand final hangover in general. Big trip to Vegas, compound injuries to Huss, Walsh and Reynolds all at the same time. It hasn't been a lucky start at all for the Brisbane Broncos, but, you know, back at home this week at Suncorp versus their arch rivals, the Cowboys, I'm expecting a response. And, you know, the Cowboys, they're 3-from-3 to start the year. They're on fire. So there's no doubt it's a huge game for Brisbane. And, you know, I think having Reynolds back on deck will help. They've named Tristan Saylor, Rendell's son, at fullback. He's been good in his limited opportunities at the Broncos in the past, and, you know, always, you know, has that effort there, which you'd like to see. Pecora is out as well, so in comes Jaden Hunt, and Corey Oates will play his first game from the bench this week as well. So, look, I think the Broncos last week really showed a lot of fight at the back end to score those late two tries against Penrith, because they were blown off the park 40 to 50 minutes in, and it could have been really embarrassing near the end of that game. But they hung in and managed to score some points. And obviously, straight off the bat, with losing Reece Walsh didn't help them, and their preparation and everything they'd probably train them for an attack to start that week probably really involved Walsh and Meehan, and to have one of their key men out so early definitely impacted them in attack. But as I said, Penrith scored some soft tries, but I think as the game got on, Brisbane, despite the fact that they got put off by the injury early on, I think they managed to play some better football and even get back into the game. So it was promising signs, but yeah, there's no doubt they've been a little bit down to start the season. And, you know, I think this is almost a must-win for them. They need to show some momentum heading into this season. I know that last year they were on fire, and I'm sure when all their players come back in the middle to end of the season, with Walsh and Huss and Reynolds being fully fit, that they can make a real charge and be contenders for this premiership again. But you've got to win enough games in the meantime to get there. You know, I expect over 40,000 at Suncorp this week. They're versing, you know, a very famous rival, and they've had some classic encounters in the past, the 2015 Grand Final, the 2016 Final, the 2017, I think, went to Golden Point as well. There's one where Milford kicked a field goal to win. A lot of classic moments in this rivalry, so they can't get up this week. It's a little bit like CS last week. They're in real trouble, and I think they will respond against the Cowboys. The Cowboys are 3-3. They bullied a Dolphin side in round one. I think they really struggled against the Newcastle in round two and managed to escape with a little bit of a miracle win due to a Trad Townsend field goal. And last week, they were very poor defensively at the start of the game before, you know, scoring a monster of points against the Dragons. So despite the fact that they're 3-3, I don't think they're travelling as well as some people think they are. You know, the injuries to Ruben Cotter and Helam Lukey haven't helped their cause in the forward pack. Talolo's on limited minutes with that degenerative knee issue. But I think that McLean's been really good for them. I think that Fino Fuiaki's been good to come in, and they've got some exciting backs. I think the keys to this side are obviously Dearden and Drinkwater and Robson Skeeny from dummy half. They do have a younger forward pack. They have stepped up this year, but I think there's one area the Broncos can expose. It's in that forward pack this week. So, you know, I honestly think they're a team that's still improving, the Cowboys, and they'll get better as their young guns get a little bit more experience, even guys like Labert. And, you know, Griffin Neem, a lot of these players haven't played a huge amount of football, so they're going to be leaning on their experienced playmakers like they have at certain points this year, the likes of Townsend and Holmes and Dearden as well. But yeah, I just think, I've got a feeling that there's going to be an ambush this week and there's going to be a response from the Broncos. So I've got the Broncos winning this one by 12 points on Friday night, the local derby, and showing the NRL world that despite the fact that they've got injuries, they've got a lot of depth at the club, and I think that they can go a long way to be very competitive at the back end of the season and potentially fighting it out in the finals to try to get another premiership. Super Saturday this week, my favourite time of the week. It's only got two games. The first one down here in Wollongong at 5:30 for the Dragons' first Wynn Stadium game this year. It is from Wynn, and it's the Dragons versus Manly at 5:30 p.m., and the Dragons, I mean, they're going to be out to show their fans that they, you know, do have some positive signs and there's improvement under Shane Flanagan this year. I think that's all it is about for the Dragons in 2024. I mean, they're not going to be top eight finalists. They're not going to be contending for a premiership. But as a fan, all you want to see is improvement. I mean, there probably is some fans that want to see him win the comp, let's be honest, but those fans are delusional. But yes, all you want is improvement. You want defensive consistency, which just wasn't there last week. They got into a flying start against the Cowboys, and they showed that, you know, the partnerships between Flanagan and Hunt and Sloan at the back is really, you know, starting to come together and attack. They're managing to score some good tries from some good effort plays from their players when the football's in hand. But, you know, when the opposition has it, the defense, especially their goal line defense, it's just not first grade standard. So, you know, there's no doubt there's been improvement so far this year in some areas, but in some areas they're still very much struggling, and unless you can tackle like first graders, then you're not going to win many first grade games as first graders. It's as simple as that. For the Red V, Manly, they were unlucky not to be 3-3. Obviously a controversial disallowed try, I think it should have been a try that could have beat the Eels, but you know, when you're leading 14-0, you've got to go on with those games, and I think Manly you know, really let the Eels back into the fight by not, you know, pushing down on Parramatta when they had them, you know, struggling early in their match-up. But I think that, you know, if you compare the Manly side from last year to this year, it's just worlds better. Tommy Turbo, fit and firing, it's great to see. Luke Brooks is fitting into the side almost effortlessly. He is a perfect complement there to Cherry Evans and Tommy, who both lead the side, and Brooks just has an opportunity to run, and he doesn't have all that weight of the world on his shoulders like he did the Tigers. And, you know, I think their forward pack's been pretty good. I think the Eels did get it over him last week, but You know, the exciting thing if you're a Manly fan, that enterprising football, that they can spread the football early in the tackle count and they can really upset some sides with their unpredictability. And this is the sort of thing that I think teams have to do if they're going to be a chance of beating Penrith. Manly at their best, I think, could beat Penrith right now. I honestly do. But yeah, it's about consistency. Those, you know, shifting the ball in the early tackle count, it's high risk for high reward. So when it comes off, it looks amazing. But when you don't get it right, you've got to be prepared to defend your goal line and defend for a long period of time. And I think that Manly, that is an area that they have to be better in, especially last week. Parramatta fought back in that game pretty easily when they got some momentum. So definitely some improvement there needed for Manly. But overall, it's been a really promising start to the year. I think that they're going to have way too much for the Dragons in this game. And I expect Tommy Turbo to come up with some magical plays. Luke Brooks, I think, you know, might have a try or two in him. And overall, and I haven't been doing my bets of the week this week. I just realised. But yeah, I think that there's plenty of points on the horizon this week for Manly at Wynn Stadium. And despite the fact that the Dragons have a great winning record against them in Wollongong, I think they're going to struggle in this one. And as I said, you know, you don't know what games these lower teams are going to be up for. But I just got a feeling that Manly are going to run riot at Wynn Stadium on Saturday afternoon. The second Super Saturday game this week sees a very desperate Gold Coast side, Titan side, who are winless to start 2023 up against the Dolphins at Cbus Super Stadium at 7:35. And the Titans, their start of the season couldn't be worse. Their captain Tino is out with an ACL injury. They're coming off a 32-0 flogging by the hands of the Canterbury Bulldogs, of all people. It has been a horrible start to the season. Tanner Boyd and Foran, there's no cohesion there. I think Tanner Boyd has been awful to start the year, and somehow he's still named halfback this week. Brimson's still in the centres. You need to get him involved, more involved in the the football field. And they just weren't in the contest against the Canterbury Bulldogs. Their forwards lacked any punch. They do get Fifita back either this week or next week. He's in the 18 jersey, and you know, they just look all over the place with their football in hand. They had so many opportunities against the Bulldogs that they were extremely unorganised and really just poor on both ends of the field. So there's no doubt that Jaden Campbell coming back this week at fullback is going to help. And Fifita coming up on an edge, he has a target that the Titans can, you know, go to potentially make something happen. But they're not going to fix the main problems at the club, and that's effort. 1% effort, defensive effort, and, you know, be able to withhold a little bit of pressure defensively. And the, I guess, total lack of cohesion that they have in attack at the moment. It is disastrous at the club. And, you know, Des Hasler, this is his greatest challenge. It's been a horrible start to his run up there, simple as that. And they need to improve, and they need to improve quickly. And, you know, their opponents, the Dolphins, they were poor against the Cowboys last week. 3 weeks ago now, in round one. And they were good 2 weeks ago in a big win over the Dragons. They had the bye in round three, so it's hard to get a read on them to start their season. They're 1-2. They were poor 1 week, good the other. But that win was against the Dragons. The Hemmer was really good in round two. I think that Flegler and, you know, has really laid a platform there. Plath's been good in his limited opportunities there in the forward pack. So, you know, it's a club that, you know, we've seen the positives, we've seen the negatives, we haven't seen how they are in a close football game yet. So it's hard to get a read on. They've obviously got talent all across the field, the park here, and I think that, you know, their forward pack has the ability to really take the game out of the Titans' hands early. I think Bromwich and Flegler can lay a good foundation. Kafusi and Aiken are dangerous on the edges as well, and they've got a workhorse kind of bench as well. So, you know, I think that the Dolphins, they just have too many points in them for the Titans. I mean, you look at the halves, Nikarima and Katoa, definitely an attack first, a run first sort of partnership. Farnworth, Bostock, Hemmer, a lot of points in this football side if your defence isn't up to scratch. And at the moment, the Titans simply aren't. So I expect the Dolphins to be big winners on Saturday night. I've got the Dolphins winning this one by 30. And I think that the Titans go into full crisis mode after this week. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better, unfortunately, for you Titans fans. So there is an Easter game on Easter Monday, but on Easter Sunday, it's your traditional Sunday afternoon football. Two big games, and the action starts at 4:05 from Go Media Stadium over there in New Zealand when the New Zealand Warriors versus the Newcastle Knights. And this is a rematch of the second week of finals last year, where the Knights' miraculous run came to an end to the most improved team in 2023, the New Zealand Warriors. Now, obviously, both these two sides since then have had a less than ideal start to 2023. You can make the argument the Warriors should be free from free, but some late rallies by oppositions in the first 2 weeks made last week pretty desperate for them. They were down early in the game against Canberra. They managed to find a way home in the last 20 minutes and get their first win of 2024. But it's safe to say I don't think they're in full cohesion yet. Johnson has had a little bit of a quiet start of the year. Wade Egan's missed some time, so he's a big boost this week. I think Fenua Blake and Barnett have been outstanding at the start of the season. Tua Picky's got a HIA, the young gun, so Charles Lucas-Hodstad not quite ready to come back on the side this week. So Roger Tuivasa-Sheck goes back to fullback. RTS, he's been great to start the year in the centres. We'll see how electric he can be back at fullback, and that's got to really ring alarm bells for Newcastle. If he's continues the form he's showing, I think he's going to be almost unstoppable there at fullback this weekend. I think they're going to be up for this in front of their home crowd, the Warriors. They were disappointing in round one over there, and last week they got a win for their fans. They usually step up in New Zealand, and you know their opponents, the Knights. They were workhorse last week against Melbourne, 14-12 winners. They managed to hold on against a fast finishing Storm team in front of their home crowd, Newcastle. But I think it's safe to say they're still far from the finished package. They don't quite know what they're doing in terms of their spine. Cogger definitely showed in the attack up last week, but I think you got to find a way to have Hastings somewhere in the side. He really was good in reserve grade last week. Gamble, is his spot safe? I'm not sure. Ponga has been a threat, and he was really improved last week, but I still don't think he's playing his best football to start the year and getting involved in the right moments, and I think he might be overplaying his hand a little bit. You've got that 1-2 punch across on Brayley now, which I think adds to them, and their forward pack has mostly been pretty solid this year, and you, as I said, you can even make the argument the Knights should probably be 2 from 3, but yeah, there's just some defensive deficiencies at the moment that I'm not loving, and you know, they seem to really lack cohesion and lack variety in attack when attacking opposition lines. I think it's been a problem for the first 3 weeks of this competition. I can't see it changing this week. I think the Warriors and the Knights, they both love to score points, but I think the Warriors, are under Andrew Webster anyway, a real defence-first mentality of a football side, and when they get it right, they can be hard to score points against. I think they're going to be up for it this week, and I think Newcastle, they've got a long way to go to being that side we saw at the back end of the year. So, yeah, there's just I've just got a feeling this week that the Warriors have yet to show their best in 2024. The Knights definitely haven't, but if I'm looking at these two sides comparatively next to each other, I think the Warriors are a bit further along and getting back to their best football, and RTS at fullback, I think, might unlock Johnson, and we could see plenty of points by the Warriors. So I've actually got the Warriors pretty comfortably. I've got the Warriors 14 points winners. I think it could be a really high-scoring game over there in New Zealand this Sunday. I think the second game of Sunday afternoon football has the potential to be an absolute cracker from PointsBet Stadium. It's the Cronulla Sharks versus the Canberra Raiders. In recent times, the Raiders have a really good record over the Sharks, and there's been some classic encounters, including, I think it was a final back there in 2016 when Michael Ennis did the Viking clap in Canberra after a big win by the Cronulla Sharks. I think the Sharks were, you know, ambushed at Leichhardt last week. They did not see that coming, and the Tigers were on fire. The defence was great. They scored many points, and they targeted a weakened Cronulla Sharks forward pack, considering they had 3 big injuries last week, and they were down to 1 man on the bench. So big changes this week. Obviously, Finucane's out. Toby Rudolph's out. In comes Atkinson. Iroh makes his debut. He's got a lot of reps in the centres. Talakai shifts to the second row. So there's some changes, and Hazelton's going to start this week as well. So there's some big changes there for the Sharkies. They're a little bit weak through the middle. As I said, the Tigers took advantage last week, so Canberra are going to be hoping to repeat that this week. And I was concerned, I've got to admit, by the halves last week. Trindall and Hines were good just their first 2 games of the year, but they didn't step up when the Sharks needed them last week. And Hines, 2 kicks out in the full, and then he kind of went back in his shell a bit and was really reluctant to kick, so the pressure got put on Trindall, who didn't perform. I think Fort Kennedy was their biggest threat with the football in hand, but yeah, I just feel like that's not what you want to see from your leaders, and maybe it was just a one-off for Nico, but I think he's got to respond this week. I think we need to see a big response. Canberra, as I said, they were in that game to their eyeballs last week against the Warriors, and they probably should have won. I think their effort's been top shelf this year. Obviously, they're a real workhorse side. They don't have the star power of a lot of the big sides, but you can't question the effort, and the forward pack's been outstanding. Papali'i's got a bit of a career resurgence. Tafane's been solid as always. Smithies and Zach Hosking have been revelations for them. Whitehead and Corey Horsburgh are back now. Horsburgh in the 18th jersey, but I assume he comes back into the side. So yeah, they're playing a good brand of football. I think Strange and Fogarty complementing each other well. Strange is a really good defender. I'd like to see him get his hands on the footy a little bit more. But yeah, considering the 1-30 squad they've got, I think they're really playing a positive brand of football at the moment at Canberra, and a lot of people thought they would struggle this year. There's a lot of upside there because they're not being pretty about their football, but they're winning games because of their hard work and they're really competing, being a good defensive pressure side, and scoring the points when they need to. So it's simple footy from Ricky Stewart's men, but it's working at the moment. I think that, you know, since the fact that they're a real forward-heavy side, Canberra, the fact that the Cronulla have a lot of players out this week in that middle rotation leaves them a little bit vulnerable. And I think if Canberra can start on the right foot in the first 10 to 20 minutes of this game, they can really put the sword to the Cronulla, so to speak. I think there's a big upsets on the card here. As I said, I think that the 1%ers and that effort play that Canberra have got at the moment is going to be too much for Cronulla, who I thought really went back a peg last week, and it was probably really, despite the fact that they're only down to 14 men in that second half, and you know that's going to hurt any side. It was, I think that Craig Fitzgibbon should be concerned about what he saw in that second half last week, because it was a side that looked like they were struggling to find any sort of rhythm in attack, and a side that defensively, despite the fact they were down men, they couldn't come up with those big plays when they needed them, so they were a little bit weak defensively, especially in those effort areas. So yeah, I think Cronulla can really are really vulnerable this week, and I think Canberra can really take advantage of it. Canberra by 12 points against Cronulla on Sunday afternoon. And the final game of Easter weekend, it's Easter Monday. It's a Monday afternoon football. We don't see it too often, but we do see it every Easter. The Parramatta Eels versus the West Tigers in that traditional fixture, and the Tigers talk of the NRL world after Saturday night. It was a great performance and a long-awaited performance for their fans in front of their loyal supporters at Leichhardt Oval. They showed up in a big way against Cronulla, 32-6 winners. And, you know, it's all about consistency now and whether they can continue to play that great, positive brand of football. Caesars really added a lot of organisation and structure to the side. Gavin, young, exciting footballer. He's going to be a star, I think, for many years to come, but it's great to see him not afraid to take on defensive lines and run the ball at the moment. I'm loving what I'm seeing from him. Their forward pack is really good. Abby Corris, he had a dummy half, was absolutely essential. And, you know, while, you know, we saw their efficiencies in round two, they really fixed up defensively last week. So, can't say enough about that Tigers performance, but it's just about whether they can do it week in and week out and be consistent, or they're just going to get up to some big games. Consistency is key, and we'll see what Benji Marshall has in store in terms of attacking structure and defensive structure for the rest of the season. Their opponents, Parramatta, they were rocked at start this week due to an injury to Mitchell Moses after a big 28-24 win over Manly last week. I think that Moses was instrumental in that comeback win. They were down 14-0 early, and then I think the addition of Paul off the bench really lifted them. Madison came on, made some big crossroads off the bench as well. I think Joe Offengau, he's been solid in the middle of the field, and RCG was massive in his 200th game as well. So I think their forwards did a lot of the hard work, but then Moses took control when he needed to. So there's no doubt he's a massive loss. This week they've gone with Blaze Talangi, who had a good debut out in the centres and beat Tommy to score a try. He's partnered with Dylan Brown. So we'll see how that combination works out. Mike Sivo back on the wing. So, you know, you may look at this side and say, well, the Tigers got an opportunity, the Eels are pretty vulnerable, but the free-flowing football that Parramatta playing at the moment, a lot of second-phase footy with the offloading, I'm loving the style. I think they can definitely be a threat at the back end of the season if they can get that right when it matters. It's a bit like Manly, high risk, high reward, but when they get it right, they get it right, Parra. If there's one flaw, I think, in their side at the moment, it's the defensive structures. I think that, you know, they can concede some soft tries and you know, their goal line defence needs to be better, especially on the edges there, but that comes with experience, and they haven't had all the experience in the world there recently. But yeah, I think the Tigers will be up for it. They'll be up to go back-to-back this week and really take it to the Eels, and they'll see an opportunity with the young playmaker in, but they've got their own young playmaker in Gavin. So it's an exciting time for both teams to see how those young guns go. But I just think Parramatta, when we look at the grand scheme of things, I think they got the forwards to match the Tigers and making roads in the middle of the field. And I think Dylan Brown and Guffo will step up and lead this side in Mitchell Moses' absence over the next 2 months. So I think that Monday, I think it'll be an entertaining count. I think the Tigers will definitely be in the contest, but I just think Parramatta a little bit too much firepower. So I'm going to go Parramatta by 10 points on Easter Monday. So just to recap my tips, for round four, and it's a massive round, as I mentioned. Some real teams under pressure that need a lift this week. I've got the Roosters beating the Premiers to start the week in a massive statement. Thursday night at Allianz Stadium, the Roosters. The Rabbitohs rebound against the Bulldogs, which will delay the crisis talks for a couple of days, but they're still going to be there. The Broncos, big upset over the Cowboys to get their season back on track with their captain Adam Reynolds coming back into the fold. I think the Manly will be way too strong for the Dragons at Wynn Stadium. Likewise, the Dolphins with the Titans. Two big games, big scorelines in the Saturday games. Sunday afternoon, I've got the Warriors being too strong for the Knights and the Raiders upsetting the Sharks. And then on Easter Monday, I've got Parramatta being too strong for a resilient and a hard-working West Tigers side. So those are my tips for round four. I hope you enjoyed the podcast this week. A lot to talk about in the NRL world still, and hopefully we can get through the weekend without any more intrigue dramas. Hope everybody has a good Easter. I'll see you back on deck next Tuesday afternoon for another edition of Steve's NRL Footy Tips. Enjoy your footy this weekend, and pray for me when it comes to my Supercoach team, because it is a mess at the moment. I'll catch you guys next time on the podcast.